The Friday filibuster will not be heard this week, so we could bring you this special presentation.
Hey everybody, hope you are having a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Welcome to a special episode of Objection. Yes, it is Objection. The Friday filibuster will be returning next week, but because we wanted to keep the old white man cabal's flame burning bright, and Lord knows we don't want to cross them.
No.
Right, Dan Mancini?
No, we do not want to cross them.
We don't want to cross them. So we decided to do a special holiday edition of Objection with our buddy Mac McIntyre as well. Mac, how's it going?
How could do? I'm doing good.
All right, fantastic. Now, Dan is coming to us from a bathroom in a hotel, so maybe he's trying to...
No, Phil, I am actually in the, I don't know, living area space, but my children are in the bathroom making all kinds of noise because they're taking a bath. So, wait, yeah.
So time is ticking. So a la Jack Bauer, you know, the clock is ticking on. But so this is going to be just a short little get yourself ready for the long weekend as you digest all that delicious turkey countdown episode. And we've kind of gone back and forth on how we wanted to frame this, and we landed on this. This is going to be our countdown. Well, not really a countdown because we haven't even organized it. So maybe a checklist. I suppose an objection checklist of just our favorite badass indigenous peoples that the old white man cabal may have victimized over the years.
Yes.
I think I got that right. Yes. So as we know, the old white man cabal's reach is far and vast, and it goes back years and years, and a lot of stuff has been pinned on them, a lot of unfair stuff, but they've earned some of their scorn, don't you think, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, they definitely go out of their way to annihilate large groups of people who get in their way, you know, if necessary.
If necessary. That, or they'll try to buy them off with beads and
right. Fragrance. Give them blankets full of smallpox, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we just thought that in a typical objection fashion where, you know, Thanksgiving, we think about, the pilgrims and the Native Americans gathered at the big wooden table, right, eating corn. Right? We all think of those. We all summon up those pictures that we read and then we saw in elementary school, right? So very peaceful, hanging out, just really enjoying each other's company. But instead of looking at, you know, our indigenous friends as kind of just low key and not really ready for the plight that's to befall them, how about looking at some of the more badass versions of them throughout entertainment? That's where we kind of landed.
Indeed.
So, Mac, how does that sound to you?
Sure. That's ambiguous enough. We can do a lot of stuff with
very
it.
Very ambiguous. Very ambiguous. Just like the moral compass of the old white man.
Yes.
So I guess just to get started, I'll just show you kind of the breadth of the network casting. I'm going to start. My first suggestion for this would be one of my favorite movies in the last 10 years or so. It's Apocalypto, and the badass indigenous native is, of course, Jaguar Paw.
Yes.
By Rudy Youngblood. This is Mel Gibson's Apocalypto. And, you know, he's a Mayan, so he's not going to be hanging out with the pilgrims. But as we see at the very end of Apocalypto, who's that coming in on the boats? Representatives from the old white man cabal.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously you could pick any of those guys, you know, running through the jungle attacking each other, but I think Jaguar Paw specifically jumps out just because of the utter badass transformation he turns into at the end of that movie. You know, he's running for his life, running. He's almost got his heart cut out, just a series of terrible events befalling him. And then he just, something clicks and he turns it around and he just turns into this Mayan slaughtering machine.
Yeah, he leaps off that waterfall and then from then on.
That's right. Well, actually, technically, it's when it's his little rebirth from the quicksand. Remember, he goes.
Yeah.
He's in the quicksand, and he comes out, and he says, "This is my jungle." And then he just starts, you know, hitting people with frog poison and throwing wasp nests at them. And then, of course, there's that big fight scene where he just bludgeons the guy with his crazy tomahawk and a blood spew and everything. So it's and then he ends up with a nice impaling.
Yes,
and Cabal crashed the shores. So
very nice.
Yeah. You're sure that blood to the head that didn't look just a little bit fake, maybe?
Well, I'm not going to say it looked real. I mean, it was, yeah. It was obviously, I mean, there's, you know, those kinds of wounds, I don't think you can do those wounds believably. Any kind of.
But, you know, it wasn't so much believable. It was more like, you know, trauma.
I can see that, I suppose. Hey, I'll take it, though. There was a long build up to that.
That's true.
I mean, we had to suffer through that douchebag a lot, so he needed to get his at the end. In fact, I was hoping that play would have been a little more drawn out. So, all right, so there's my first suggestion. Dan, you want to go next? Well, we'll let Max simmer with this because we just sprung it.
Yeah. I'm going to go in a similar vein, probably a little closer to at least the geographical area of the Pilgrims, although still not. This is much later than the Pilgrims, but I'm going to go with Wind in His Hair from Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, it's a movie that I've yet to see. Nice. My wife.
Yeah, and you're not missing much. I'm not a fan of the movie, but Wind in His Hair is pretty awesome in it. He's kind of he's the guy who he's much better than his analog in Avatar. He's the equivalent of the guy who gets the blue girl stolen from him in Avatar and just kind of rolls over and is like, well, whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That guy can ride the big dragon, so what am I going to do about it?
That's right.
But in Dances with Wolves, he's a little more forceful. He's a little more of an opponent to Kevin Costner at first. And then eventually they kind of become friends in a way that's much more believable than what was in Avatar.
Are you implying that Avatar is very similar to Dances with Wolves in some ways?
There are some vague similarities between the two, I would say.
Right.
But he's quite awesome. And, you know, it's clear at the end of the movie that he will fall victim to the old white man cabal.
Of course, they all do. We all do, really.
Getting around it, but that you know that he's going to. I think he's alive at the end. Yeah, he is alive at the end.
He is, yeah. He gives a big send off.
Yeah, he's going to give it a good fight. He's going to go out honorably, you can tell.
Yeah, that's the big tearjerker moment when he says his goodbye.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Then you know that Kevin Costner, who himself could be a member of the old white man cabal, has earned his way into the tribe.
Nice. All right, Mac, you got anything?
Okay, how many of these are we doing? Because I have two suggestions.
Let's do a couple. Sure, why not?
Okay.
And if anything springs to mind, we'll do an epilogue or something.
All right. The word Indian got tossed around, so let's go to the country of India.
Nice, good. I like it.
With Mola Ram from Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom.
That's a great one.
That is a good one.
I mean, and in fact, it's unique because when the old white man cabal comes a knocking, and they do at the end, you're pulling for them, right? You're like firmly in the camp of the old white man cabal. But you're right, Mola Ram does go down swinging, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, you talk about indigenous. I mean, he's there in his caves. He's just doing his thing. You know.
That's right.
you know, you talk about cultural sensitivity. Well, you know, they might be different, but they've got a culture of their own.
That's right. Who are we to judge in our postmodern relativistic right. society? Yeah.
Sure, we frown upon child slavery, but, yes. you know, that's just our cultural biases.
Yeah, so he rips the heart out of native, you know, out of his relative.
Right.
Big deal.
Not just ripped the heart out, but then dropped the guy into the lava and pulled the metal frame up while it's still, like, burning white hot and smoldering.
Right. Well, yeah. And like laugh Arby's. Maniacally when the guy's heart bursts into flame.
Right in his face. Yeah. Right in his face.
That's a fantastic one. I applaud that choice.
And he has, like, zero respect for the ecosystem when he dumps that giant vat of water to try to drown Indiana Jones, you know?
Yeah, right through the mind. Yeah,
absolutely. So who and then all that disgusting, you know, polluted water comes flowing out. So who knows what the biosphere looks like when Mola Ram's done with it?
Did they ever say what they were mining for in that giant mine?
Yeah, the Sankara stones.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. All that just to find those two stones, huh?
That's right. I don't think they found it, right? They didn't. They were just searching for them. So, yeah. All right, good one, Mac. Way to rise to the occasion. All right, here's my second one, and this would technically be my first choice, but one of my favorite guilty pleasures in a long time is Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
2001 French movie that really Excellent. Is all movies to everyone. if you're looking for kung fu fighting, it's here. You're looking for secret societies, it's here. You're looking for, you know, giant monsters. You're looking for Monica Bellucci running around without a top. You got everything here.
Yes.
And
saucy French babes.
Saucy French, absolutely. incest. in abundance, all of that stuff. So I'm going to go with Mark Dacascos, who plays Manny in this. And we see him, like, right away as he uses his kung fu to beat, like, three people who are just messing around with some poor woman. But he definitely – everything is so pumped up in this movie. So his, like, his tomahawks – They don't seem to be very practical, but they're just made to be fear-inspiring. They're just humongous. Remember, they're throwing them at pumpkins? The pumpkins are, like, bleeding. Just got these humongous pumpkins, but he is quite the badass. Even, I mean, I don't know if Kung Fu was as prevalent as this movie would have us think in France at the time, but he really brought it. And what was cool about that movie was, like, his goofy sidekick there who, we didn't know who he was, Gregoire de Fronsac. That was his guy. I mean, we didn't really see him bust out his lethality until Manny goes down, and he was actually pretty impressive. So
that's right. There's actually a deleted scene where the two of them are fighting together, but they cut that in order to, like, hold Fronsac's cool moves until later in the movie.
That's smart. That's smart. Yeah, because he just seemed kind of like, whatever, this dude just screws around, sleeping with the whores and smiling at his Indian pal. But then when he goes down, he turns into Terminator, but Manny definitely makes his big fight with the beast there. He's setting off all his Goonies, booby traps. That's good stuff too.
Yeah, that's a good. I haven't seen that one in a long time. I actually reviewed that one for the site.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if that ever made it to Blu-ray.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think it has.
I'm gonna search for it now and add it to my wish list if it did. But continue on, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with one that actually we've discussed, and I think a lot of people would disagree with this choice, but here on Objection, we're firmly in the camp of thinking of this character as a badass, even though many would say no, and that is, I'm going to go with Wicket, the Ewok.
You took my other one. That
because,
one.
You know,
we have covered the Ewoks, and you're right.
If Darth Vader and the Emperor are not part of the old white man cabal, then there is no old white man cabal. It's clear from the end of that movie that they don't get older or whiter than Darth Vader. And let's face it, Wicket and his peeps took down a whole bunch of stormtroopers with, much better weapons.
Absolutely. And tactics.
And viciously. And cut off their heads, apparently.
And cut off their heads.
For crumbs.
Yes. And there's a good chance they ate them because as was established, they were about to cook Han Solo and Mark, Luke Skywalker alive and devour them. So there's a good chance that they consumed the flesh of the stormtroopers before ripping the helmets off their dead bodies.
And they do it so cheerfully.
That's right.
They're going to cook them, fully clothed. And they just seem so happy about it. So, I mean, that's a whole new level of badassery.
That's true. Quick product update. Brother the Wolf, not on Blu-ray. It is available on HD DVD, which you can have for the low price of $124 used.
Wow.
Nice. Nice. You could probably get an HD DVD player for a penny.
All right, Mac, you another one cooked up?
I don't know if this counts, but what about Johnny Goodboy Tyler from Battlefield Earth? Battleground.
Yes.
That's played by Barry Pepper?
That's right, yeah.
That works. I grant that. That is so
mad. Barry Pepper trying very hard to look like Tom Cruise. And
it is amazing. I have to say, Mac and Dan, for all the podcasts that we have done together, this, I can't remember the last time or if we ever talked about Battlefield Earth.
I don't think we have.
I don't think we have an objection. Mac, have we in Filibuster?
Not that I recall. I don't think it's come up.
How do we go like 250 episodes?
You might have mentioned it during the firestorm.
that's right. Barry Pepper was in that.
Which I think that was technically filibuster, right? That wasn't an objection.
Oh, that's right.
Thing.
That's
but still, it might have come up because Barry Pepper is in Firestorm.
But that is,
which
isn't
is
that amazing?
The movie's ever made. But,
that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And we have covered Gymkhana, Psycho Kickboxer. We have hit those sweet games, so we never covered this. But,
Yes,
all right, go on, Mac, make your case.
He's clearly a white dude, but he's done up in all the Native American garb, including all the beads in his hair and stuff, because, it's the post-apocalypse and humanity's dying, so let's all put beads in our hair.
That's right, and the bad guys were, what, the psych Cyclones.
Cyclos.
Cyclos.
Cyclos, yeah.
And who are these giant 8-foot tall guys in the Frankenstein boots and the dreadlocks.
That's right.
And the Cyclos have these long, really long, long fingers, and they're supposed to hold their guns in a certain way, but you could tell that the actors couldn't hold the guns because of the prosthetics on their fingers. So every time they pick up their guns, they're like flopping the guns around. Of all the things in that movie, that's what I remember.
I'll tell you what I remember. I remember that all the cinematography was shot crooked. It was all crooked. You know, everything was like tilted 45 degrees to the left.
Right.
For some reason. Maybe that makes it
edgy.
Cool.
Yeah. Because, it's called cool and edgy.
And the second thing I remember was how... what was this guy's name again? Johnny Goodboy Tyler.
Johnny Goodboy Tyler.
So him and his other yahoos who... essentially, like, ride horses and live in caves, right? And tan hides and have thatch hut roofs or so. they learn to fly when they're 14s in 2 hours.
Oh. Right, because the Cyclos had, for reasons I'll never understand, they gave Johnny their genius, right? They hooked him up to the genius machine and they made him a genius. And so that way he was able to learn how to fly the fighter jets.
So how did he transfer that to the others?
But then he taught the others, too. And that gets into even more of a gray area, doesn't it?
You think you would not be able to fly the fighters without the long fingers.
Right.
That would be necessary.
No, he's flying the Earth fighter jets that were buried.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That worked perfectly again, right?
That worked perfectly and still have fuel somehow.
That's right. Okay. It's been a while, and I've blocked out most of it. That was one of those movies where it's like, well, it can't be as bad as people say. And then it's worse.
I was so excited to see that movie when it came out in theaters. Oh, I was so pumped. And I actually snuck out of work early just to go to the first matinee just to see Battlefield Earth because I was so excited. It was going to be this huge sci-fi epic. And I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, lightning round. We'll wrap it up here. Just throw out anything that occurs to you. So. I think another obvious one, and it's straight up Native American. This is the actual Last of the Mohicans. Russell Means is Chingachgook from Last of the Mohicans.
Nice. Very nice.
Who really just delivers the business in that great last scene where he just runs up the mountain and just, you know, introduces Wes Studi to the business end of his, whatever that monster weapon he has is. You remember that
right
thing?
On. Yeah.
The nightmare mace.
Intense. This is a non-obvious one, but I'll throw it out there anyway, as long as we're going to talk about badass indigenous people. And this is Objection, so we have to mention this guy anyway. But I'm going to go with Harrigan for Predator 2.
Okay, good.
He is indigenous to planet Earth, good. And he is a badass.
That's true. Well said. Well said. Oh, nice. Mac, you got anything else that occurs to you?
Let's see. Oh, there. Oh, good. I just found it. Deputy Hawk from Twin Peaks is the awesome Native American cop who, when all the craziness going on in Twin Peaks, he's the one who keeps on the straight and narrow and stands up for the law.
Nice.
And even when, Agent Cooper and Sheriff Truman had broken the law to go rescue somebody, who had their back? Deputy Hawk.
Very
he saved
nice.
The day at the last moment. Yeah.
Very good.
He's really, sure. I know you guys aren't Peaks freaks like I am, but I'm telling you, he's a really cool character.
No, yeah, I watched the show.
Oh, sweet.
It's been a while, yeah. It's been a while, but yeah, that guy was awesome.
And I will end my final suggestion, just because I have to mention it, of course, my man Vonkar from Willow.
Yes.
When the Death Dogs, that's the actual name, they were Death Dogs, when they come to town to take over their little Nolan village, he just stands up and takes care of business. So, kudos to Vonkar.
Yeah, he just jumps right into the fray.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he's got a great little, my spear! You know, they throw him a spear and he wrecks it. Like, what if, too bad he couldn't go along with Willow. If he had gone with Willow, if Virgo Cut hadn't opened his fat trap and sent Migosh, that clown, with Willow instead of Vonkar, I mean, there's a good chance Vonkar is taking down General Kale. On that walkway in the big siege. Instead, he's got to sit by and just, like, run errands or be Burglecut's personal security guard or something. So he got the shaft. So, all right, last call. You guys have anything else before the tryptophan kicks in?
I think that's it for me.
Nice.
You know, I think that we have thoroughly. If I was Native American, I would probably be offended now.
Yeah, we apologize.
We've lumped them in with Ewoks and
that's terrible.
Kerrigan and, you know, people from Battlefield Earth, Barry Pepper, you know.
Like, honestly, this podcast.
Like, how dare you associate me in any way with Barry Pepper?
this podcast did kind of start with noble intentions. We wanted to portray our Native American friends in, like, the badass lights that they deserve, but. Yeah,
but
we ended up with Barry Pepper somehow.
It's not our failing. This is Hollywood's failing.
That is Hollywood's failing.
That's true.
It's not
yes.
enough it's badass Native American roles. That's
true.
That's what it comes down to.
Although, the last one, I know that this had come up too, Dan. The Chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I had that in the original list. Chief is awesome.
Chief versus the water fountain. Chief, yeah. That's right.
And he's a great character.
He's a great basketball player, too.
He's a great basketball player. You just like the guy. He's, you know.
Yeah.
And he's the smartest one out of all of them.
He is. Oh, yeah. He's the one who gets
it. One of them, you know?
That's true.
Including the audience.
Absolutely.
He's awesome.
So, yeah, I think we'll. I think that's a good place I need to leave it at. You know, so we'll dedicate this one to the Chief. All right?
Yes.
So the Chief gets this. So,
juicy fruit.
So thank you, Dan, for prying yourself away from the kids in the bathtub, and Mac, thank you for being ready to roll with this crazy ambush topic, and thank you to our listeners, and hopefully you have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy all the merits that come with the holiday and the family and the turkey and all that stuff. So thanks for listening.
From having destroyed, you know, the indigenous peoples.
That's right.
Enjoy the fruits of that.
Enjoy what the old white man cabal have given you, everybody. That's all we're saying. All right. Thank you very much. Mac, why don't you take us out?
Shumani tutanka owachi. Yeah!